In 1958, President Dwight Eisenhower's Department of Defense created the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, the famous DARPA, to invest in new technologies. The investments would lead to the creation of early internet and then the emergence of a multi-billion-dollar industry that dominates our modern lives. But that original vision has become a shadow of its former leadership role in the development of new science and especially technology. Defense Secretary Ashton Carter has been shuttling between Washington, D.C. and Silicon Valley with the goal of injecting the Valley's fast prototyping models of product development into the inflexible bureaucracy of the Pentagon. Adam J. Harrison is the director of the MD5 National Security Technology Accelerator launching today. His task is to infuse high-tech culture and recreate that old excitement of DARPA.
And there's certainly no question that there's some bridge building that needs to happen and some efficiencies that need to be introduced. I mean, that's a big part of why the secretary's placed such emphasis on streamlining parts of the business transaction process with these non-defense companies. So if we can get to entrepreneurs, let's say, earlier in their careers, even before they have businesses, and let them leverage DOD as a partner to build technologies that support not only some kind of a national security interest, but also a scalable commercial market opportunity. Again, think along the lines of satellites and situational awareness and geospatial areas where DOD invests tremendous resources in developing new technology, but oftentimes doesn't have the internal markets to apply those technologies to our problems. So we're looking for opportunities to put some of the technology that DOD develops into the hands of folks who can turn them into products that DOD could ultimately leverage down the road.
All of this smacks a bit of, if you can't beat them, join them on the sort of hacker question, that if you can't really confront the talent of Silicon Valley and maybe even some overseas players in terms of software hacking, we've got to get some of our own.
So, and I'm cautious about the word hacking because the way we use it, it really has much more to do with straight up problem solving. It's not the cyber term that came in vogue with war games. Having said that, your point's well taken. There is a tremendous amount of interesting state-of-the-art high-tech activity taking place outside of the traditional Department of Defense enterprise, and we want to be part of that. Now, we don't want to divert everybody's attention back to DOD, but we want to be an enabler for certain types of activities that support the national security mission. No single organization, and I would argue no corporate R&D player today, has the luxury of focusing solely on their internal research and development. That holds for IBM, it holds for Microsoft. That's why we see companies like that opening up their platforms to open source type development. And DOD is no different.
You're describing something that seems to me to be a real sea change in the ways in which defense entities and defense technology entities maybe compete around the world. If what you're talking about is really talented high-tech entrepreneurs and people who are have a facility in designing satellites and satellite software systems, et cetera, from their point of view, it might not be any different to develop a product and do a little sideline with the Defense Department to help them out and do a little sideline with the EU to help them out and maybe do a little sideline with NATO and who knows, maybe even do a little sideline with a Chinese-owned company. Do the entrepreneurs in the Valley see it that way, as sort of agnostic, well, we can work with anybody, and it's not exactly treason, but you know what I mean?
So I think you've hit a key point. I mean, one of the issues that we have to think about is when we engage with the commercial marketplace as a source of these really interesting technologies, we're not the only people who can do that. And that, quite honestly, that's a danger of what we call following the market. Instead, what we have in mind is to create these mutually beneficial relationships with would-be entrepreneurs much earlier in their product development activity or much earlier in the development of their startup entity and really make the relationship worthwhile for them so we can gain insight that perhaps other people aren't aware of and can factor in these new technologies ahead of our potential adversaries.
What tangible detail or development or possible headline would say to you success of this venture in the next 5 years?
So I guess a couple of things. I mean, one, again, we're not picking winners. What we're doing is trying to enable innovators and entrepreneurs to be agents of technology innovation. So if one of the projects, or I should say one of the teams of people that comes through our organization actually identifies, develops, matures, commercializes a breakthrough technology, either on the in the civilian world through the through a startup or through some type of internal government project, if they really solve a high visibility need or allow our servicemen and women to do something they couldn't do before, we're going to call that a huge success. People tend to forget that the Department of Defense really was the foundational investor that led in many ways to the creation of the high-tech economy in the U.S. We've kind of lost that mojo a little bit today, but what we're looking to do is reposition the whole enterprise as a value-added part of the national high-tech community. And all the ingredients are there. That's where we would ultimately like to take it.
Adam J. Harrison, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you, John.
Adam J. Harrison is director of the MD5 National Security Technology Accelerator.